see, Sutek. All of us were sent here as punishment, Fury explains. It occurs to me that she's not just talking to Adam. She's also trying to fire up her troops. Maybe morale gets low in the jungle. We were sent to this forsaken place to bring down the impenetrable shield that surrounds whatever spoils the Lorik have hidden within. For all of us, it is our last chance to impress beloved leader. It's the perfect place for a traitor like you. Fairy crouches down in front of Adam. So, do you know the secret to the sanctuary? Have you come here to redeem yourself at last? Yeah, comes Adam's groggy reply. If it's a force field, try throwing yourself at it. Fairy actually laughs at Adam's quip. It's that laugh that gets me moving again. It has an air of menace to it, like her little sideshow is about to wrap up. That means we have to hurry. I tug Marina, and we slip behind the gathered Mogadorians. Adam's created one hell of a diversion. If we were sticking to the plan, we could make it inside the perimeter of the sanctuary easily. But I'm not willing to leave Adam to his fate, and I don't think Marina is either. Instead of heading for the temple, we move swiftly towards one of the mounted blaster turrets that the Moogs have been using to fruitlessly fire at whatever force protects the sanctuary. Throw myself at it, Fairy is repeating, her laughter dying down. That isn't such a bad idea, Sutek. Why don't you go first? Out of the corner of my eye, I notice Fairy signal to a couple of the warriors in her command. They hustle forward and wrestle Adam to his feet. With Fairy leading the way, the Moogs drag Adam towards the invisible line that divides the cleared Mogadorian section of jungle with the untouched portion surrounding the temple. We've tried everything short of atomic bombardment to cross into the sanctuary, Fairy says conversationally. It said beloved leader knows a way in. It involves the guard and their little pendants. As you know, they've proven to be elusive. But if you believe the great book, and I do, then you know nothing can stand in the way of Mogadorian progress. Which means this damned force field will come down. I intend to trample whatever Lorik magic is keeping us out, in the name of beloved leader. Then why haven't you done it already? Adam replies. If nothing can stand in the way of Mogadorian progress, why aren't you making any? Maybe because I never had a pretty trueborn boy's face to use as a battering ram. Marina and I reach the nearest turret. Together, we climb up the steps on the back of the blaster. The thing looks like a mounted jackhammer. There is a windshield with a crosshairs placed over the barrel. There are two handles for turning the gun, with triggers that look like the brakes of a bicycle set next to them. Will you be able to fire this thing? I whisper to Marina. Aim, squeeze, shoot, Marina whispers back. It's pretty intuitive, Six. All right, I reply. Hold on. The gun turret requires two hands to operate. Even though all the Moogs are facing away from us, I don't want to go visible and chance one of them glancing back and ruining our ambush. I carefully place my hand on the back of Marina's neck before letting go of her hand. This way, she's able to operate the turret while the two of us still remain invisible. Slowly, Marina starts moving the turret so that it's pointed at the Moogs. The gun needs oiling. It makes a metallic whine when she moves it. I wave my free hand in the air and quickly summon a strong gust of wind to cover the sound. Let me give you a preview of what you're in for, Fairy is saying. She's got Adam right in front of the invisible barrier now, her goons forcing him onto his knees. She unwraps the bandages around one of her hands, revealing horribly charred flesh. This is what the Lorik shield does when we mistakenly run up against it. You should be more careful, Adam replies. At a nod from Firi, the two warriors grapple Adam into a half-bent position, securing his arm so that they can press it against the force field. Firi leers down at Adam. There are rumors about you, Sutek. They say you're part guard now. Maybe you're just what we need to get into the sanctuary. Maybe a freak like you will short-circuit the force field, and today will be the day we enter the sanctuary in the name of beloved leader. One way or another, today's your last day at the sanctuary, Adam replies through gritted teeth. I promise you that. Adam's words make Firi hesitate. She glances back towards our ship, suddenly realizing that maybe Adam didn't come alone. She's too late. Marina has the turret lined up on the crowd of Moogs.
Ready?
She whispers to me. Light 'em up. Marina's invisible hands squeeze down the turret's triggers. The gun roars to life with such force that I'm nearly knocked off the back. I manage to cling to Marina so that she doesn't turn visible. The closest group of Moogs don't even have a chance to turn around as glowing columns of sizzling blaster fire pummel their backs, turning them immediately to ash. As soon as Marina opens fire, dust comes screeching down from the sky. Now in the shape of a gray-winged falcon, the Chimera rakes its talons across the face of one of the warriors holding Adam. The Moogs shout and scatter. They're totally confused. It must look like their turret has been possessed by a ghost. Firi Dunra has the presence of mind to squeeze off some blaster fire that deflects off the turret's windshield, but then she ducks for cover. Marina continues to strafe them, although she's careful to avoid the area around Adam. With dust taking down one of the warriors, Adam elbows his second captor in the stomach. When he doubles over, Adam shoves him backwards, right into the invisible border around the sanctuary. With a flare of cold, blue energy, the shield surrounding the temple reveals itself. It's like a giant electrical web stretched into the shape of a dome. The Moog flares up like the tip of a matchstick when he hits the force field. His body leaves a coating of ash that seems to float in the air once the shield disappears again, until a gentle gust of wind blows it away. Freed from his captors, Adam throws himself onto his stomach. Right away, Marina swings the turret around to take out the Moogs cluttered around him. A few of them, including Firi Dunra, have made it to the cover of one of the parked ships. Even though they can't see us, they return fire on the turret. Our gun soon begins to belch smoke and rattle dangerously. "It's overheating!" I yell. "Jump!" Marina and I dive in opposite directions as the turret explodes in a cloud of acrid black smoke. We're visible and without any cover to speak of. Before the surviving Moogs can take aim, Adam pounds his fist against the ground. A tremor ripples in their direction and knocks the Moogs off their feet. I use the distraction to roll beneath one of the other ships, already channeling my legacy to call down a storm. The sky darkens, and it begins to rain. Out here in the jungle, it's a cinch to call up this kind of weather, but I'm still a few seconds away from channeling lightning, and I'm not sure I'll be quick enough. Firi and her troops are already drawing a bead on me, their blaster fire scorching the wet dirt in front of my position. That's when a fist-sized hailstone strikes Firi right in her bald head. She falls back, shielding herself. I notice Marina hiding behind a stack of crates. She's focusing intently on the raindrops, turning them to ice around the Moogs and knocking them senseless with hail. I feel the storm above reach a boiling point and let loose with a jagged stripe of lightning. Fury manages to dive aside at the last second, but her last two warriors are electrocuted into dust. And then, to my surprise, Fury Dunra runs. Without even a look over her shoulder, the Moog Trueborn bolts into the nearby jungle. Adam leaps to his feet. Both his lips are split open where Fury clubbed him, blood trickling down his chin. Otherwise, he looks unharmed and alert. He starts to run after Fury, his feet sliding through the reddish-brown mud my storm has created. Fury is out of sight before Adam can get very far. He pulls up short a few yards away from me. "Let her go," I tell him, willing the storm I whipped up to taper off.
"Shouldn't we go after her?" Adam asks, spitting blood into the dirt.
His eyes scan the nearby ruins and tree line, and I can tell he'd like a fair fight against the other Trueborn. Dust, back in wolf form, lopes over and sits down next to Adam, lapping gently at his hand. He glances back to me. "Thanks for the save, by the way." "Yeah, I figured since the whole distraction thing was my call, I kinda owed it to you to not let you get slaughtered."
"Glad you saw it that way," Adam replies, then looks back towards the ruins around the sanctuary.
"We should catch her. She's dangerous."
"Forget about Fury What's-Her-Face," I say, turning away from the jungle and gazing up at the waiting temple.
"We've got more important things to do than chase down one Moog," Marina puts in as she walks over to join us, no matter how nasty she might be. I nod in agreement. "She's alone out there. Maybe something will eat her. We'll leave Dust back here to keep watch over the ships, in case she tries to double back." Adam continues to stare into the jungle. After a moment, he finally nods his head.
"Fine. I'll keep an eye on things while you guys go inside."
I exchange an inquiring look with Marina to make sure she doesn't have any misgivings with what I'm about to say. She shrugs her shoulders in response, then starts towards our ship to begin the unloading. I cock my head at Adam.
"You don't even want to try coming in with us?" I ask.
Adam stares at me.
"Are you joking? Did you see what contact with that field did to Fury Dunra?"
"I'll heal you if that happens," Marina offers over her shoulder.
"I don't understand," Adam says.
He turns to look up at the temple, his hands on his hips. He looks nervous.
"Why would you even want me to go in there? It's a Lorik place."
"Like that fairy bitch said, you're part guard now," I explain. "You're not Lorik, but you've got legacies."
"I've got one legacy," Adam clarifies, "and it wasn't even mine to start with. I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to have it."
"Doesn't matter. If I understood what Malcolm told us, and I guess that's maybe a big if, there's a living piece of Lorien in that temple. That's where our legacies come from, which means you're connected to it, just like us."
"Everything has happened for a reason," Marina says as she climbs up onto our ship's hull.
She looks back at us, a thoughtful frown straining her soft features.
"Just look at 8's prophecies."
Adam looks unconvinced. He swallows hard.
"We don't know what's waiting for us in there, or what to expect. We might need you in there. So man up."
I'm not sure how Adam will respond to being called out. A smile flickers across his face, like that one in the cockpit when he was spacing out.
"I'm in," he says, "assuming that invisible wall doesn't burn my face off."
We walk over to the ship to help Marina. She pulls the chest with our gathered inheritance out of the cockpit and floats it down to me with telekinesis. Then she carefully floats 8's body out of the ship. She has him hover right in front of her, almost like she was carrying him in her arms. To my surprise, she unzips the top half of the body bag. There's 8,
looking just as he did when he was alive, those Mogadorian electrodes preserving him. "Marina? What are you doing?" "I want him to see the sanctuary," she says. Then gently smooths some of Eight's curly hair back from his forehead. "You're going home," she whispers to him. Marina climbs down from the ship, focusing her telekinesis so that Eight's body stays with her the entire way. There's a look of deep purpose on her face, and she doesn't even look at me or Adam before walking towards the temple. I realize that she's been waiting days for this moment, the time when she can properly lay Eight to rest. Wordlessly, Adam and I join her somber procession. As we approach the edge of the land the Moogs cleared, the wild and overgrown temple looming before us, I feel a strange tickle against my chest. I look down to find John's pendant glowing brightly and rising up against the front of my tank top. I adjust my shirt, and the pendant floats out in front of me, straining against its chain. It's like it's magnetically drawn to the sanctuary. The two pendants Marina wears are doing the same thing. Adam gives me a look and arches an eyebrow at my gravity-defying jewelry. I shrug in response. This is all new to me, too. Marina is the first to pass over the threshold. The force field appears again, cobalt and electric, and there's a static popping as she passes through it. Loose tangles of her hair, charged by the energy, float up around her head, but otherwise nothing happens. I'm only a few steps behind her. The force field gives my skin a fizzy feeling. It only lasts a second, and then I'm standing on the other side, the cracked and vine-riddled steps of the sanctuary rising up before me. I turn back to check on Adam. He's stopped right in front of the force field. Cautiously, he extends his index finger and makes contact with the energy. It pops loudly and he jumps back, but he isn't scorched like the other Mogadorian was. "You sure this is a good idea?" "Don't be a wimp," I reply. Adam sighs, steels himself, and reaches forward again, this time with his whole hand. The energy crackles and sparks against his pale skin way more than it did with Marina and me, but it lets him through without incinerating him. I grin at him, and he gives me a relieved look, wiping some sweat off his forehead. "Now what?" he asks. Marina has paused a few yards in front of us, still floating Eight's body. She reaches behind her head and takes off one of her pendants. Loosed from her neck, the pendant bobs slowly towards the stone steps of the temple, and then begins to rise up them. "We climb," Marina says. Her pendant glints blue in the sunlight, and it occurs to me that the laurelite is glowing a little brighter, like it's charged up or something. I feel it, too. The sanctuary is giving off some kind of energy beyond just the force field. There's a sense that every cell in my body has been suddenly invigorated. I glance up to the sky and know that I could call up a larger storm than ever before. I feel more in touch with my legacies. And somehow it all seems so natural, like I've known this feeling before. Marina was right, I realize. We're home. Chapter 25. It takes us about 30 minutes to climb to the top of the Mayan pyramid. I try passing the time by counting the steps, but I lose track somewhere around 200. There are sections where the stone steps have crumbled into ankle-twisting crevices, and other spots where rain has eroded the ancient stonework down to smooth slopes. We use the overgrown vines that spill forth from the jungle to assist us over the difficult parts, ascending hand over hand. We don't talk much, except to tell each other when a particularly tricky section of steps is coming. Somehow, it seems rude to disturb the silence of the sanctuary. We take a break once we reach the top of the temple. Marina is sweating from the heat.